We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you, the light of this world, who has broken through our darkness, you who are born to be one of us, that we might be your beloved children, come to us through your word, dear Lord, and help us to see how you have done all things well to ransom us, to rescue us, to make us the very children of God, that our hope and our heart might be set on your grace for now and for all eternity. To you be our thanks and praise. Amen. On one of your vacations, have you ever quickly pulled into a gas station to fill up and have a quick potty break, and then quickly jump in the car and head back out on the interstate, all to find out that you left a child behind? How far down the road did you get before it actually dawned on you and you turned around? I'm assuming you turned around. Were you totally shocked and in a panic, perhaps? Maybe your child was even crying by the time you pulled back into that gas station. What a time. Every year, Mary and Joseph harness the donkey, load up food and clothes in the cart, and set off with their uncles and cousins and aunts and siblings for that great city of Jerusalem, the Feast of the Passover. With military precision, they packed up and their family caravan traveled down the road toward Jerusalem. They entered the temple grounds singing psalms together and joined in the festival service as one big family. When it was all over, then they packed it all up again and headed back home. Picture them rolling down that dusty road. Mary and Joseph laughing, talking, having the time of their life. Finally, the sun was setting. The day was getting done. Time to stop. Time to eat. But where is Jesus? Joseph calls for the sons. James, Judas, go find your brother Jesus. He's probably hanging out with one of his cousins. The boys come running back to mom and dad. We can't find Jesus anywhere. Ooh. Mary and Joseph's laughter all of a sudden kind of turns to fright and then even panic as they scurry around from wagon to wagon and family to family. And has anyone seen Jesus? They turn their wagon around and head back to scary Jerusalem. Oh, what kind of parents are we to lose Jesus, huh? Jesus is so responsible, so obedient. How could he not be with us? Did he wander off? Was he taken by somebody? Where in the world are we going to start to look in that great big city? How could Jesus be so unloving and so disobedient to do this to us? If leaving a child in a gas station for 3 minutes would be pure agony for us, then Mary and Joseph were terrified for those 3 days in Jerusalem when Jesus was alone. After searching the streets, the shops, and every place that children play ball, and maybe even a police station or two, Mary and Joseph probably reasoned that, let's go to the temple and talk to the people there. Maybe someone saw him wandering the streets of the city and gave him a place to stay. After climbing the steps to enter into the temple and searching through the courtyards, they bumped into a large group of teachers circled around and engrossed in a deep discussion. At the center of their huddle, Joseph and Mary found 12-year-old Jesus, calm and composed, asking and answering questions on a scholarly level. Perhaps they were talking about the coming Messiah. With shock quickly turning to anger, Mary interrupted their conversation. "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "In all seriousness, respect, and love," Jesus replied, "why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" In a nanosecond, Mary and Joseph went from fear to shock to anger to being totally dumbfounded. Jesus' answer stopped them dead in their tracks. It took a breath away. "What? Searching? Searching? Why were you searching for me?" Well, they were searching because they couldn't think of where he possibly could be. That implies, however, that Jesus is like any other 12-year-old boy, running off, either deliberately disobeying his parents or just being totally irresponsible. Jesus said he had to be doing what his father told him to do. Jesus' answer jolted Mary and Joseph, reminding them that he was the son of another father, the son from heaven. The only reason that Jesus would not do what his earthly parents commanded him to do was because his heavenly father had a conflicting request. If the temple teachers were listening carefully, they may have been shocked at Jesus' reply, "My Father's house." The holy temple was the house of the Lord God Almighty, the Lord who brought the Israelites out of Egypt and into the Promised Land. Jesus' Father is the Lord God Almighty? That makes this 12-year-old boy the Messiah. With one simple sentence, Jesus reveals what compelled him every day when he woke up, drove him all throughout his day, the very reason for him living. Jesus lived to do his Father's will. "I had to be in my Father's house." Jesus had to be in his Father's house because he is the light of Israel. Before Jesus revealed himself to the Gentile world, he presented himself to the leaders of Israel. Could they hear Jesus' answer and not realize that he is the Messiah sitting in their midst? Jesus also was compelled to be in his Father's house because he was an obedient human who was worshiping his heavenly Father every day. For our salvation, every day of his life, Jesus lived to obey his Father's command. "You shall have no other gods. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and strength." Has a neighbor or a friend or maybe even a family member asked you this Christmas, "Why do you ruin your Christmas by going to church so much? We were looking for you everywhere. We couldn't find you at the party because you were at church at night during the week. Are you nuts?" Isn't it amazing how the Jesus birth changes everything? So many years ago, Jesus was born, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. None of us have visibly seen Jesus, and yet we believe with all of our heart that that baby born is true God and true man. His death paid for the sins of the entire world, and he really rose back to life in order to guarantee us forgiveness and a home in heaven. Now, when people are wondering, why do we spend so much time at church? We also answer, I have to be in my Father's house. Jesus has forgiven us for all the times that we haven't wanted to be in God's house, haven't wanted to hear his word, haven't put his will before our own will, haven't loved him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. Jesus' forgiving love creates a new love within our hearts. We too say, I have to be in my Father's house. Not because we are any better than anybody else, but simply because God's love compels us. We yearn to sing his praise, hear his word, feed our faith, and to get in a huddle together with fellow believers to discuss the Bible and to pray together. We are the ones who are honored to be called the children of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus. We have to be in our Father's house because he is our Father, and we live to give him the honor due him. Have we ever driven off and left our children at church? Probably not. Why not? Well, I like to think that we're not in such a rush to hop in our car and speed away. When we are in a Father's house, we are blessed. And we focus in on our family, our biological family, and our family of faith. Rejoice. Because Jesus had to be in his Father's house, we are now welcomed into his Father's home in heaven. Jesus has prepared a place for us, and he will come to take us home, and he will not drive away without us. Rejoice. We are the children of God. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice that your light has shone upon us, that your Holy Spirit has come and created faith in our hearts that we might sing your praise in time and for all eternity. Bless us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love. To you be our thanks and praise in Christ our Savior. Amen.